button, go live button. All right, Jeff Berwick, the dollar vigilante, also the crypto vigilante. You have something out now called Explosive Potential of Crypto Privacy Coins. And Jeff's been on the show before. We talked about the Tesla machine, and that's a chat that we did that continues to have a lot of interest. It still gets a lot of views. Like we were talking before we went, we started recording, was that, you know, most interviews, they do well, then they kind of disappear in the background. That one did well and gets consistent traffic. Even after being deleted off of YouTube, people found it on Rumble and it puts the Rumble views up, but then YouTube put it back. So that is continuing to do well. So, you know, I could read your bio, but most people know who Jeff Berwick is, I think. I think you were watching.
The CIA knows.
Yeah, the CIA knows, and that's all that really matters, you know. but I will just mention, so, you know, Jeff is the author of the best-selling book, Controlled Demolition of the American Empire. I have to admit, I've only gotten through about half of it, but I can contest it's very good. You know, it's very, very good. He's a truth seeker, philosopher, freedom fighter who's been banned from almost every major platform, including YouTube, even got our initial video taken down. And he spent the last 8 years doing self-work and meditation up to 7 hours per day. Sometimes in a hyperbaric chamber or while floating in a plasma bath after he was one of the first to get access to the Nikola Tesla machine, the Tesla machine that we'll mention here, and the incredible healing that offers. And Jeff was nice enough to hop on and talk about privacy coins, because I do believe in the crypto vigilante, the latest, I think, report there. It goes into crypto privacy coins and how those are definitely a great, you know, investment and very essential, possibly in the future, in the very near future as well. And we just want to, here at Radiant Creators, we just kind of wanted to help get that information out there. Like I say, Jeff was nice enough to kind of give us a little preview of what the crypto vigilante is doing and maybe turn people on the privacy coins a bit and then go buy Jeff's stuff. That's the idea. And so not to be incredibly, like, you know, not to ask, I'm almost an overly simple question, but I know that people listening won't necessarily know, and I'm curious what your exact take on it is. What are privacy coins and why are they important?
Yeah, sure. I should preface it by saying, first of all, thanks for having me back on, Craig. Always a pleasure. And kind of interesting that YouTube took down our last chat where we're talking about the Tesla machine and plasma, which actually, I keep trying to put stuff back on YouTube. We just had another chat on there that we talked about the Tesla machine. They took it down again. They don't want people to know about it. Pretty much everything I talk about, they don't want people to know. So that's why I'm banned everywhere.
Yeah.
As far as privacy coins, I should sort of preface it by saying that I got into Bitcoin in 2011 at $3. And we actually recommended it at that time at the Dollar Vigilante at $3. It's now $114,000. So it's gone up about $113,997 since then. I also recommended Ethereum at $2. You'd think a lot more people would kind of know about me and stuff like that. But like I said, they don't want anyone to know about any of the stuff I've been doing for the last 10, 15 years, because I'm mostly trying to help people to figure out how to survive and actually profit from basically everything going on in the world today. And when I first got into Bitcoin, in 2011, I actually thought it was basically like a privacy coin. And that's how everyone thought about it. Even the Bitcoin OGs at the time, everyone, one of the things that everyone was saying is, you know, it's much better than the US dollar, obviously, or any fiat currency. It can't be inflated. There's a maximum of 21 million coins that will ever be made, created. Although that's even in discussion now, since it's been a bit co-opted. And a lot of people said back then it's an anonymous currency so that, you know, no government could track it and things like that. And it took me a year or two to really get my head around that it isn't. And then it became very clear around 2017 or so as it really started to take off. All of a sudden, all kinds of analytics companies came out and they were getting quite good at trying to figure out who owned all the Bitcoin and where it was going. And of course, every transaction on the Bitcoin blockchain is completely transparent. That's it's a completely public blockchain. So you can see every single transaction, but now that they've got the KYC exchanges that are mostly all over the place, they've gotten rid of almost all non-KYC exchanges, including Trade Ogre, which was a major privacy coin exchange that was taken out and all the funds stolen by the Canadian government just a month or two ago, the RCMP. Yeah. So it's become very, very clear now that if you're not using privacy coins, which most people don't even know what that is, then every government in the world, every intelligence agency, all the Palantir, all these sort of things will know every single transaction you ever make. So that's not very good, especially with these governments that become so tyrannical. You have, like I said, Palantir and AI and all these sort of things, and they're trying to extort and freeze and regulate what you can or cannot do and stuff like that. So it's actually never been more important than ever that people realize that any crypto coin that isn't what you would call a privacy coin can be tracked and traced every single transaction you make. And almost everything in the world today is illegal because of the governments. And they can like just freeze your funds for anything. So it's actually kind of insane if you think about it. Like I remember when the internet first started, because I also started an internet company right around the time it started in like 1992. That back then there was no security on the internet. There was no encryption. There was no bank websites or anything back in 1992. I don't know when they first started, but I think it was near the late 90s. Some banks started putting online and stuff like that, but they had to wait until websites and web pages and web traffic was encrypted. Otherwise, any hacker could easily just scan any router and see all your information. And that's when a lot of people probably don't even notice this nowadays, but every website pretty much now is encrypted. And that you can tell when it says HTTPS. The S means it's encrypted. It means that even if you were sitting on the router and you're watching all the traffic coming and going, you wouldn't be able to read it because it's encrypted. And of course, almost everything on the internet today is encrypted because otherwise anyone could see every single thing you're doing. So it's insane to me that people are still using cryptocurrencies, which I've been into since 2011, and almost all of them are completely unencrypted, which is kind of crazy too when you think about it, because they're called cryptocurrencies. They're supposed to be encrypted. And in some ways they kind of are, but in most ways they're not. So for people out there who don't understand this, pretty much every cryptocurrency you've ever heard of is completely unencrypted. So anyone can see every single thing you're doing, including, like I said, all the governments and Palantir and AI and all these sort of things. There's only a few that are actually truly encrypted so that you can't actually see any of the transactions. And the by far the biggest one and the most well-known one and the longest running one is Monero. It's been going since, I think, 2015. It's kind of interesting because Satoshi left Bitcoin around 2011 and said he or she or whatever it was moving on to other projects. And then fairly soon after that, Monero popped up. And it's also interesting to note that Bitcoin actually had ways that it could become more of a privacy coin, but they turned off all of those operation codes a long time ago. So now there's really only a few coins out there that are truly encrypted. And to me, I think we're going to look back. I don't know when, if any of us are still alive, because they're trying to kill everyone on Earth right now. But in 10 years, 15 years, we'll look back and go, I can't believe anyone used a coin that anyone could see every single transaction you ever make. It's going to seem that insane to us. And as I mentioned, the biggest one by far is Monero. And it's been under massive attack, of course, because by the governments and the IRS and the intelligence agencies and all that sort of a thing, because they don't want people to have an actual currency that can't be tracked. Now, of course, the governments will always tell you that they got to track everything for your safety because of the terrorists. But I don't know about you, but I know the terrorists are them. The extortion that goes on is them. And so you need to protect yourself from that. And as I mentioned, Monero is by far the biggest one. And then in the last 5 or 6 years, there's been a number of other ones that have started up that have all kinds of interesting things about them as well. There's Pirate Chain, which I've been a fan of since I found out about it when the Crypto Vigilante first featured it at about 5 cents, about, I don't know, 5 years ago. It actually went up to like $15, but now it's back down to like 20 cents again. But Things like Dero, I also still am hoping does well. It had a bug though for the longest time, so that's something that's still being worked through. There's newer ones like Xano, which Roger Ver, who's actually basically in jail in Spain now, like John McAfee was, because he's spoken out about this. He actually wrote a book called Hijacking Bitcoin, and that's one of the main reasons they're trying to get rid of Roger Ver. He's been a fan of a one called Xano. So there's a number of them out there. There's others out there as well. But the important thing for people to know is that is actually what Bitcoin was supposed to be, is things like Monero and some of these other coins. What actually happened, and Roger Ver wrote about in his book, Hijacking Bitcoin, was basically people from like the World Economic Forum, from MasterCard, basically the globalists, the banksters, co-opted Bitcoin in 2017 and made it so it couldn't actually become P2P cash. So long story short, or it's been kind of a long story here. I've been talking for a while, but
it's good. It's good.
But what Bitcoin was supposed to be got hijacked, and it's nothing like what it was supposed to be. And the actual things out there that are what it was supposed to be, things like Monero, most people don't even know about, but it's actually incredibly important that people actually know this information. And not only to get into things like Monero, because it'll probably go a lot higher, just like I featured Bitcoin at $3 in 2011. I'm talking about Monero right now, and it's around, I don't know, $200 or so. It could go, you know, it could turn into something way bigger than Bitcoin if people of the world start to wake up and realize why they need a actual cryptocurrency that can't be tracked like Bitcoin and most of them, Ethereum, all of them can. So it's incredibly important. They probably will rise in value as more people realize this, but it's actually more important that people know about it so that they can start protecting themselves, because they're actually trying to move everyone towards CBDC type things, where they can actually regulate what you spend your money on. That's where it's all headed. And we actually saw this last month, Vietnam shut down something like 200 million bank accounts, or it was like a huge amount, 80 million, I think. Because the people wouldn't actually use a digital ID, which is all part of getting people with digital IDs, which are now just rolling out in England, by the way. They just announced last week they're rolling that out, and it's going to be like mandatory. And once they have people with digital IDs, they're going to basically have things that are going to be similar to a central bank digital currency, and they'll be able to track and trace everything you do. And what did we see during the COVIDs? Is that you weren't allowed to like leave your local area and stuff like that. They were locking everyone down. Well, when they do that again, and they will, if they have things like digital IDs and people's money is actually in things that are traceable currencies, you'll see things like, well, you can't spend your money outside of your neighborhood because there's a virus and stuff like that. Or you can't buy that much meat because, you know, meat contributes to climate change. No, it doesn't, but that's a big other scam. But that's what they'll say. And you'll go to buy some steaks and they'll say, no, you've bought too many steaks this month. This is where it's all headed. People probably can't even get their head around it at this point and might not even believe that's where it's all headed, but it is 100% all headed there and fast. And so one of the only ways to protect yourself and your savings too, and your wealth, there's obviously things like gold and silver, and gold just hit an all-time high as we speak. Silver is just about to break its all-time high right now because the precious metals market is realizing what's going on. But of course, gold and silver in this digital age in particular isn't that usable for your average person. A lot of people are buying things online and stuff like that. So aside from gold and silver, you definitely would want to have like a good private cryptocurrency. And most people have no idea about them. And in fact, Monero is banned from most exchanges for that reason, because the governments regulate the exchanges. And if the exchanges put Monero on there, they'll come in with their guns and shut down the exchange. So it's incredibly important for your own survival to at least be aware of privacy coins and to start understanding them. And then on top of that, as you mentioned, and as I mentioned, as more people figure this out, the value of those coins will probably rise dramatically. So this could be the next big massive winner over the next few years in terms of massive gains, just like Bitcoin's had over the last 10 years. It could now be privacy coins. And that's what the Crypto Vigilante just had an entire summit about talking about.
Yeah. And then how do people find that summit? I do believe I've linked to it in the show notes, but it's right there at cryptovigilante.io, right? I think that's where they can find it.
If you want to get access, it was a one-day thing, basically an online event, an entire day. I think it was about 10 hours or more. I was actually on it. All of the Crypto Vigilante team and numerous other top experts in privacy coins were all on it. You can find it at tcvsummit.com. That's the Crypto Vigilante, tcvsummit.com.
Okay. I'll make sure that I link to that in the show notes for everybody. And yeah, I think a lot of people are unaware of how nefarious AML is, anti-money laundering, because, you know, ultimately the regulations come from the deep state. Let's call it that, right? We can call it the bankers. We can call it whatever we want to call it, government, if we want to call it that. But the regulations are given to the banks. They're set as a standard, and then the banks have to, and a lot of them, they will outsource to other companies that just specialize in this kind of thing. A certain country, a lot of them sit in, you know, and they will, it's either live every transaction you're making, or they batch it at the end of the week or the end of the day. It depends. They all do it somewhat differently. But people don't always realize that every single transaction you make, every financial transaction you make, it is analyzed. I mean, that thing gets Palantir'd, and the banks cannot not do it. And then the banks are legally required to report anything that first they have to look at it, and then they have to see if it looks funny. And then if it does, then they have to send it up the chain. So literally, like, when you swipe your card, it's that card machine or anything you purchase, you're pretty much purchasing it through like Palantir surveillance. I mean, they go deep. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that. I'm not sure if people are always aware that, and of course, as we know, they say, well, you know, if you don't do anything wrong, you don't have to worry about it. But we know that's just a line, you know? So I thought I would just mention that when you can make transactions, you know, financial transactions, like through Monero, or other privacy coins, that messes up that system of AML. And I think that if you can just survive like to 2030, if you can make it the next few years, maybe we won't be worrying about those monsters if we're lucky. But right now, we need to. And I think it's if a person's a prepper or interested in survival, they want to live long and strong, or at least strong until the end. Yeah, get off the AML grid. Very, very important.
Yeah, I would even take it quite a bit further than that. You're talking about KYC and AML, yes, which is all heinous sort of stuff. But all of that is based on fiat currencies, which, yes, are actually issued by a central bank, which is actually a tenet of communism. So the Federal Reserve and things like that were put into place. Actually, the Federal Reserve was put into place in 1913. The people who were against the Federal Reserve, by the way, were all put on the Titanic, and then they sank the Titanic. That's how evil this whole system is. The entire system is a scam, a Ponzi scheme. It's a way to enslave people. I don't know if most people have noticed, but your average person rarely can get by because they're always inflating the currency, and they are the ones who are able to do that. And they usually make sure most of the new money goes into their own pockets, and then later down the road, the prices of everything start to rise. And this is what we've been seeing so much. We've seen it a lot lately because, especially after the COVIDs, Donald Trump put through the biggest debt in the U.S. government history, which they printed up tons of money. They actually, I think, more than doubled the money supply, which is insane. Mm-hmm. We're now starting to see all that coming through. People are starting to notice. It's like, holy cow, I can barely survive. Yeah, that's because you're using and you're based in a society that is based and using fiat currencies made by a central bank. That's the whole scam of it all. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's a scam to enslave people. It's a scam to impoverish people. I know people have gotten used to, because their entire lives, most people have used fiat currencies. They've used dollars or euros or whatever it is. And they just think it's a normal part of life and stuff like that. No, it's not. It's actually a scam. Just like everything else is a scam. And so you have people using that. They're mostly being impoverished by that. They also hold it in banks. And what are banks? Banks are also illegitimate scams because they do things called fractional reserve banking. So not many people know this either, but let's say a bank had $100 on deposit. So it had 100 customers who all put a dollar in the bank. They can now lend out as much money as they want. They can, because they actually removed all the fractional reserve banking. It used to be limited, but even when it was limited, they could basically issue as much money as they want. They can lend it out. And of course, that's lent out at interest, which is something called usury, which eventually impoverishes almost everybody except for the people who create and have and lend the money. And that's the whole scam of the entire system, which most people are just waking up to now. Most people are just realizing it's like, I can barely survive. I can barely pay my rent. I can barely pay my mortgage. If I get a mortgage, which by the way is French for death contract, which a lot of people get for 30 or 40 years just to try to pay for a house, which they're also paying property tax on, which is also another scam by a mafia organization known as government. So that all these things are scams. All these things are ways to enslave you and impoverish you. And then you have things out there that are completely pure, incredible free market money that no one can even track, things like Monero, and that can be used in day-to-day transactions. And the more that people do, the freer and better and less enslaved and less impoverished, and there'll be far less wars and also far less false flag psychological operations and all these sort of things, because the entire operation of all these entities all live off of this fiat currency system. That's what actually gives them most of their power. That's actually why it's also called currency. When you call the US dollar, it's a currency. That's because it's based, it's like a current, it's like energy. Basically what it is transferring energy from one person to another, and they control it and they enslave you with it and they indebt you to it. And that's the whole point of central banking, is to get everyone into massive amounts of debt and impoverish them and basically make it so they own nothing, which is what Satan Klaus just said recently with the World Economic Forum. We want you to own nothing and be happy. And that's the end stages of this plan. And we're actually getting close to it now. So one of the only ways to kind of survive and actually have a prosperous future and not get extorted, not get enslaved, is to use things like privacy coins. And the key is that people actually have to use it. So what they've trained people to think over the last 5 or 10 years is that cryptocurrencies are to be held, and you make money because they go up. And that's why they changed Bitcoin from being a digital cash, which is what it was meant to be. That's what's written on the white paper, into what they call it. This is all marketing and propaganda now, digital gold. So you just hold it and it just keeps going up. That has been the case so far, and it might even be the case for a while longer. But that will not end the tyranny of all these systems. The tyranny will end when enough people start realizing that they actually do have the power in their own hands, and they actually have the technology available, because it's actually been around for a while now, Monero. And if people would just start using that, like accepting payments in that, or paying for things in that, or talking to the person they're going to pay, and just telling them, will you accept Monero for this? And of course, you know, a lot of people will be worried about it. It's like, what if I get caught? And yeah, you're a slave. You're on a tax farm. And yeah, if you get caught doing some of these things, they might try to throw you in a cage. But that shouldn't be a reason that you don't do it. That should be a reason that you rush to start doing it, because this is getting worse and worse. And now it's headed towards smart cities, CBDCs, digital implant chips, the mark of the beast, all these sort of things. And one of the only ways that you can free yourself from all of it is using privacy coins.
Yeah. And we're definitely feeling the impact of a lot of this cycle coming to its bottom. I mean, it's on the way to the bottom, but we're definitely feeling it. And when I look at the great, beautiful bill or whatever it was called, I think part of the plan is, I think, to, since the fiat dollar is kind of failing, they want to like prop it up with, like, so the fiat dollar is based on debt that we sell as bonds, right? So they want to like buy bonds with the CBDCs, you know, and then so it's almost like prop up a failing fiat system with a new fiat system. And I just start thinking, like, of course, that it has, you know, complete surveillance built in. You can turn it on, they can turn it off, you know. And you go, man, like, we're headed for, I mean, the Great Depression, at least that was okay. The dollar crashed, the market crashed. It was manipulation and such, but that was one thing. But now we're headed for like a double crash, like something that might be historic. You know, have we ever actually had a financial system fail that was double fiat? You know what I mean? And that's just amazing. I mean, so yeah, it's very important to to stay alive through the apocalypse. Like you always say, like you're really enjoying the apocalypse. It's great. You know, yeah, it's having that attitude, you know, and finding ways like this. You mentioned TCV, they're crypto vigilante. So TCVsummit.com. That's where people can find the presentation. And with the privacy coins that you've mentioned, one thing that I like about Monero, and actually one of my favorite coins, well, favorite systems is Beam as well. That one was very elegant. It works very nicely. It's like based on the whole Nimblewimble thing, like that Grin initially was, but Beam was just a more elegant version. But anyway, there's many out there. But thing about Monero that I like, and a couple of the privacy coins, maybe all of them, I think, but that they are mineable. So you can create them. So I know this is a little bit much for some people, but ultimately, you can buy a bunch of GPUs, you know, graphic processor units, a bunch of motherboards, this and that, and you can be mining, you can be creating Monero in your garage. Of course, it's not free, uses power, you need some cooling, you know, it takes a lot of GPUs to actually do anything. For most people, it's easier just to buy it, but you can mine it, so you can create Monero. And I've always thought that's one of the best kind of off-grid ways to get your privacy coins, is just to mine them yourself. You know,
yeah, absolutely. That's still a possibility with a lot of these. Like trying to mine Bitcoin now by yourself is basically impossible because it's so big. But these things are still possible to do, all that sort of thing. And it's just so important that people start using them. It really is the case that if people don't catch on to this, most people are going to be dead in the next few years. I know. Yes. It sounds crazy, but it's actually true. And even if they do all catch on to it, a lot of them will probably still be dead because these people are still trying to kill everybody. People don't realize what's going on. It's a wild time to be alive. But we have actually all the answers all around us. Things like Monero, which most people don't know anything about. Things like plasma. You know, they're trying to make people sick with the chemtrails, with the fluoride, with the lethal injections, with poisoning the food supply, and so many people are getting so sick now. And then there's plasma, which hardly anyone knows about, which is available. So it's an incredible time, but for your average person, they're not aware of any of these things, and most of them are going to go down and end up in a smart city, and in the smart city, they're going to have their chip. And they're going to say there's a new virus, which viruses don't even exist. It's all lies. And they'll say, you need to inject yourself with this. And then they'll be turned into basically Soylent Green. All those dystopian movies were actually precursors, predictive programming for what's going to be coming. As we actually saw with the Charlie Kirk PSYOP, which was a false flag PSYOP. They blamed it on someone who it's impossible to be that person. It was actually the CIA /FBI/Mossad. And that was actually predictively programmed in 1998 in a movie called Snake Eyes, where the exact same thing happened. A person named Charlie Kirkland was shot in the neck in the exact same spot in a ring with a guy named Tyler, the executioner. And of course, the name of the killer, they say, is Tyler Robinson this time around. And the date actually in the movie itself was September 10th, which is the guy.
Oh, my God.
So they predict the entities that are doing this are not even human. So this is like bizarre, incredible apocalypse, 3D video game, unbelievable level we're getting to now. The final countdown, I think, the final battle. And people, most people won't wake up to it. And most of them will be basically enslaved, sickened, or killed in the next few years, which I know sounds kind of sad. But it doesn't have to be you. And if enough people start waking up, it won't have to be a lot of people. If they start waking up, they should be using privacy coins. Never use their currencies. When you use their currency, you're giving them power. And I know it's not that easy, but it's never easy to escape from an enslavement system that intends to kill you. But this is about as easy as it gets. All you need to do is talk to your friends, your neighbors, your suppliers, the people who owe you money, and say, pay me a Monero. And that's it. And all of a sudden, you've started to get outside of the slavery system. And then if you want to get plasma, you can heal yourself from basically anything. That is something Nikola Tesla discovered about over 100 years ago. And Donald Trump's uncle in the CIA basically killed him and hid his technology for over 100 years. And it's actually back now, which you can get at tzla.club. plasma, and that will actually make sure that you, or not make sure, but give you the best chance of being able to survive all the things they're trying to do with all the poisoning they're doing in the skies and in the food and the water. And then also, if you just do the work and really connect with source, that's actually the real key. All the things I just mentioned are inside the matrix. You can actually, if you meditate and do those sort of things, you can actually meditate with the Tesla machine. It's incredible. Connect with source, get through all your traumas, get through all your mind programming, reprogram your mind. I know it sounds a little crazy and hard, and it is, but you can do it. Then you can actually connect with source and actually get outside of this matrix altogether. And then the entire thing collapses because it's actually all based on you. It's actually your true man show. This is actually what you need to do to survive, to get to the next levels. And so if you're watching this, you actually have been given an incredible sort of Easter egg or a booster in the video game. You've been given a sign because I'm telling you exactly what you need to do. And if you do it, you will win this video game. And if you don't, you're going to lose. So I'll leave it up to the viewer what they're going to do with this information. But I know most people will turn it off, think that guy was kind of crazy, go watch their foosball game with their tranny Super Bowl halftime show, that Bad Bunny now they got coming out, drink their poison called beer, lower their vibration, and they'll be losing this video game, which is unfortunate because I just told you how to win. And so where are you paying attention? Because it's all right here.
Absolutely. And it's hard not to get awakened, you might say. Like, there's a certain point where, and some people are born this way as kids, it happens at six, some people 34, whatever, you know, but something happens and a person wakes up. And some of the things that we're seeing today, I think that they would wake a brick up, like with like Charlie Kirk, for instance. You know, you mentioned Snake Eyes. So I'd never watched the movie, but then I went and checked it out because I'm like, okay, I hear about this. I'll watch it. Everyone likes Nicolas Cage, right? And when you see the scene where he's shot in the neck, and then you see what really got me was his wife in the movie, I think so it was, is in like kind of that like white pantsuit, sort of, she's dressed like Charlie Kirk's wife, you know? And then you find out that Charlie Kirk's wife was kind of like one of the Trump, you know, yeah, little beauty pageant girls and things like this. And then South Park, what, a week or two before Charlie Kirk, did an episode on Charlie Kirk. You know,
oh, I didn't even I remember seeing that. I forgot about it. Yeah, and very interesting.
Yeah, and you start going, at a certain point, odds are impossible. You know, odds are impossible, you know. And they really, if one watches that South Park episode, they tell you who he was. You know, this is what he did, this is who he was, this is why, you know, and anyways,
I'll have to go back and watch that. Yeah, they usually put it out. South Park just got like $1 billion new contract, so they're obviously on the inside of these things. We've known for decades that The Simpsons just always says things like 10 years before it happens. But they've done that like dozens or hundreds of times. Family Guy does that as well. They actually had the Boston Marathon hoax bombing in their cartoon like 2 weeks before, down to like exactly how it looked, like exact like how it looked on the TV screen, because of course it's television programming, it's all just a show for the masses through their scrying mirror. But if you go back and you look, go look up Family Guy, Boston Marathon hoax bombing, it looks exactly the same. And that cartoon was actually out like a few weeks before the actual fake bombing happened. Because it actually wasn't even real. It was all staged, just like the Charlie Kirk stuff for the most part. He might be dead, but it was all staged. It was all done for a reason. It was all pre-planned. All this stuff was 9/11, for example. There was actually a Samuel L. Jackson movie that came out about 5 years before 9/11, where they told the whole plan. They said, yeah, we're going to knock down the trade centers, we're going to blame it on the Muslims, about 4,000 people are going to die, it's going to be the CIA who does it. And then it all happened exactly like that. It's incredible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and there was a spin-off of the X-Files called like The Lone Gunman, and they actually did an episode where they save the day and diverted planes from flying into the World Trade Centers. And then the famous scene in the Matrix where Trinity gets Neo grabs her as she's, you know, falling the helicopter, etc., and she like smashes into a high-rise building, which kind of explodes. You know, so yeah,
Neo's passport expires on September 1st, 2001, and that movie was made in the 90s as well. And they, all this stuff is all out there. It's all pre-planned. It's all predictably programmed. And that's what we're actually up against. It's a massive, incredibly, incredibly nefarious, incredibly intelligent. That's why I say it's not even human. We're basically living inside basically the Matrix right now. All these things are being done in this matrix by an incredibly nefarious outside sort of a entity. But the thing is, this is actually, like I said, it's your true man show. And as you're realizing all this, you can actually rise up and see that none of the stuff out there that you thought was real, including like the moon landing and all those sort of things, are all fake to keep you in, basically just like Truman and the Truman Show, believing that everything that you see is on the television and all that sort of stuff is real. And then basically there's people watching you that aren't even here on Earth. It's like a Truman Show to see if you can actually realize and break out of the matrix. And that's what each and every one of us needs to do. It's called the hero's journey. Yes. That's what this 3D video game is, in my opinion. And we all, in our own ways, need to figure out what's going on. Or if we don't, we'll just end up, you know, dying slowly and dying quickly and end up in smart city concentration camps and stuff. But even then, maybe then we'll wake up and bust out. And there's always many, many chances to break out of the matrix. But for most people, they're still stuck in the matrix, unfortunately.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, awakening comes with the path. So if you get it, well, there's definitely a path for you to escape, you know. And one thing about, I'll just mention it one more time, like the Charlie Kirk thing was that I think Saul Alinsky in Rules for Radicals, definitely an interesting book. I find it a bit evil, but he said that the action is the reaction, you know? And when you look at the Charlie Kirk thing, you realize, well, what was this about? It was about the reaction. And that reaction was preloaded. What a shitstorm has happened after that. And you go, whoa, like, you know, anyway, that's so... People should take note of that.
That's what they're always all about. It's the problem, reaction, solution. And that's what all these things are. It's the Hegelian dialectic. They've been using it for millennia. And they create this problem. And then the reaction actually goes towards their solution. So in the Charlie Kirk situation, well, you got to get out there and vote. You got to hate the other side of the political bird, the left side people, the blue donkey people, which is all a contrived sort of thing to keep people fighting each other so they never realize who their real enemy is. And also we need to track everyone better because look, that killer got away for 33 hours of all the,
33 hours.
The numbers. It was 33 hours. So we got to track everything better, track and trace. We got to have more gun registration, got to get rid of guns because look how dangerous guns are. There was so many. Oh, and also Charlie Kirk, and this is what I think actually really happened is he was actually paid like tens or hundreds of millions of dollars by Israel to promote all their stuff. So he was always talking about how we need to, you know, protect and defend Israel and all these sort of things. But in the last few months, he actually started to wake up to he was working basically for the devil. And he started to mention that October 7th was a false flag, which it obviously was. He started to mention that the Gaza thing is a genocide, which it obviously is. So he was starting to wake up to all this, and he wanted the government to release the Epstein files, which is all Mossad type stuff. And he also was against the U.S. attacking Iran. And those are like four very important things for Israel. And so they realized they had put this hundreds of millions of dollars into this guy. And he was starting to like not say the things they wanted him to. So what they did was they had him killed on a live stream for the shock value. That's also another thing. They also love putting people into shock and fear and that sort of a thing. And then they instantly replaced him. The first person who hosted his show was J.D. Vance, who's like the U.S. government's now hosting his show. J.D. Vance is also a heavy Palantir person, he was put into place by Peter Thiel of PayPal Mafia. And then the second person who hosted Charlie Kirk's show was Mossad agent Ben Shapiro.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, it's so sad Charlie got shot, but I'm going to pick up that bloodstained mic and carry on and continue to support Israel, which Charlie wasn't doing anymore, which is why they got rid of him. And then they had Charlie Kirk's wife take over the show, and she's like a honeypot. She's been doing like child sex trafficking in Romania, probably with the Tate brothers. She worked for Trump all these years, and then she steps in and does her thing, and they just promote like Charlie Kirk, and they're like, we're going to carry on what Charlie Kirk was doing and continue to support Israel. It's like, well, that's why they shot him. And now they got the new kid. Have you seen this new kid? Brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the thing about him is he has no history. He just appeared and kissed the wall, and now here you go. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like a billionaire. He's like 19 years old. He's got a private plane. And he was on Fox News 1 hour after they announced Charlie Kirk was dead. And Charlie Kirk was supposed to be like his mentor. Charlie Kirk didn't know him most of his life. So they're kind of raising him up as to be like the next Charlie Kirk. 1 hour after Charlie Kirk was announced dead, he was on Fox News just smiling. He can't wait to carry on Charlie's stuff. And surprise, surprise, he 100% supports Israel. Yeah. So they already had that kid in place. It's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things I think was definitely going wrong there was, because some people debate, you know, was did Charlie Kirk have a change of heart or was it just business? You know, but one thing that was definitely happening was, you know, one of his big things was going to, you know, universities and owning the libs, basically. That's what he did. You know, that was his, and it's difficult when you're debating somebody who's a professional debater who just, you know, practices and works out with his crew. And no matter what you ask, he'll put it in a couple funnels and just hammer you, you know? So that's what he did. You know, he kind of lived by the verbal sword ultimately, but he was getting his ass handed to him over Israel. You know, that's one of the things that was happening is people were like, well, what about the Liberty? What about this? What about that? You know, and he was shutting down his little shows because he just couldn't speak to it. He was getting carpet bombed, you know, rather than it being where he was owning the libs, people who weren't libs, people who were just, you know, really conservative youngsters, you know, were just killing him. And he didn't like it. He literally did not like it. Yeah, literally killed him, you know. Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. I hear people referencing like he was assassinated. I'm like, no, Martin Luther King, John F. K. They were assassinated. He got shot. All right. But anyway,
hey, that's that old Chris Rock
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, too, because it was MLK, JFK and CJK all got assassinated. Right. And who assassinated all three of them? The CIA and Mossad. Yeah. It's incredible. They even have just like Martin Luther King, they're going to have a Charlie Kirk Remembrance Day. They're going to put his face on a coin. It's all the same operations all the time from the same group. But the great thing, the absolutely great thing is a lot of people are waking up to it. Like you mentioned, a lot of people are starting to wake up to the whole Israel thing, which is just a Rothschild terrorist organization. And there's millions now waking up. And it went so far that Charlie Kirk actually had to wake up to it, and that ended up probably having him killed. But the great thing is, because I was around during 9/11, and even myself, I didn't realize what happened there for a couple of years because I was running a tech company. All I had for news was CNN, so good luck with that. But as soon as I got access to the internet and saw a documentary called Loose Change, I was like, oh, wow, that's what really happened. It was basically the CIA and Mossad again. And but it, even like years later, a decade later, I'd be at a cocktail party telling people 9/11 was an inside job and people would want to fight me. It would just, you know, cause massive chaos. Then the COVIDs came out and I started telling people this is an agenda. There is no COVIDs. They're actually going to try to kill people with the lethal injections. And within a couple years, I'd say 3 or 4 years, people are starting now to figure that part out, which is good. It's better than 9/11. It didn't take decades that time. It took just a few years. And now with the Charlie Kirk thing, though, within days, you're seeing millions of people questioning it because the actual official conspiracy theory is so insane. Like people are like, you're a conspiracy theorist. The government is the craziest conspiracy theorist out there. They put out the craziest things. They're like, Well, how did those three buildings in New York get knocked down at free fall speed? That's almost impossible from two planes. And it's like, well, there was these guys with box cutters and there was a guy in a cave in Afghanistan. It's like, you're a crazy conspiracy theorist. Like there's no way that's possible. And the same thing with this one, that like that 30.06 bullet, which is about the size of your neck, and it just stopped in his neck, like just stopped there. And then an unnamed surgeon on Fox News said that he, Charlie Kirk, was the man of steel. As they put out the photo of Tyler, the kid who didn't do it, at a Dairy Queen in front of a Superman poster, a man of steel, sort of a reference. They're super in depth with how they do these things. There's no image or no evidence whatsoever that that Tyler kid was even there. There definitely was no evidence he had a gun. His father turned him in after a Jewish guy gave him $1 million to do that or something. It's insane. And the craziest part to me is that this is so obviously an operation. It so obviously is not true what the Kash Patel and Pam Blondie and Donald Trump and all these people say, that they actually are talking about doing the death penalty for this Tyler kid. And I've seen people online, they're like, yeah, give him the death penalty. It's like, there's no evidence he was even involved. There's zero evidence, like none. And none of it makes any sense. And none of it's even possible. You know, as usual, a lot of people have fallen for it yet again. But there's millions, though, that haven't, which is actually the great thing. This is the apocalypse lifting of the veil. And it's actually really happening now. People are really starting to see things clearly and actually see what's actually going on. And this is going to get very interesting. The rest of this apocalypse is going to get so interesting because you've got the bad guys doing all this insane stuff, and there's going to be way more insane stuff coming, I'm sure, especially because people are waking up. So they're going to have to do something even way bigger now, way bigger than 9/11 now, which I expect almost any day now, which Mossad agent Laura Loomer, who's Larry Loomer, who's a guy, said just recently Al-Qaeda is going to attack the U.S. now. They got some inside terrorist chatter info. They actually say it's Osama bin Laden's son is going to attack the U.S. now. So they're rolling that old one back. But your average person, most people are actually catching on to it now. So this is going to get very interesting.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And the whole story with the Charlie Cook shooter, like the conversation he had back and forth afterwards with his friend, you know, it's like, obviously some dude, like some lawyer wrote this, like some, like it's absolute perfect admission. Like kids don't talk this way. Nobody would, you know,
with punctuation. And,
yeah. You're like, yeah. Yeah.
Daughter's around the same age as that Tyler kid, and her text messages are all emojis and stuff. They're like, there's no full paragraphs of, well, I just shot Charlie Kirk and the other guy. What? I thought they got the guy, which is, of course, the crisis actor, George Sin, who immediately took credit for it. And then he goes, no, it was me. I hid the gun in a towel, which on a place that actually is a property owned by Palantir, we just found out.
Oh my gosh.
And wrote it all out, perfect punctuation. And then, you know, the FBI just came along and found the phone and read it. And, you know, like it's the craziest conspiracy theory I've ever heard since 9/11. That's the craziest one, that the people with box cutters and a guy in a cave in Afghanistan did all that. This one's just as crazy. But like I said, a lot of people aren't falling for it. Now, what happens next? Who knows? I don't think people are even ready for really waking up to what this all is, because to really wake up to what it all is can be very scary. To realize basically everything you thought was real in this world, none of it's really real. None of the promoted things are real. Basically none of it. Moon landing, of course, 9/11, every war, basically every major event that you thought was real is not real. And then to actually realize what's actually doing it is can be too shocking for most people. So I think that's that line in that movie, you can't handle the truth. I think for a lot of people it's going to be that way, but there still is a lot of people starting to wake up. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens if they continue to wake up.
Yeah, it definitely is. And you know, I know people that I do see suffering right now are the like fundamentalist, like the Judeo-Christians we have like in this nation, who just like one of their big challenges now is, and since I'm not a part of that, I don't really know how to relate to it, but they're just like, I stand with Israel no matter what, you know, and I think they're going to have a very hard time. I think they'll go down with the ship personally, because it is so ingrained within them. And I have empathy. I really do for them. I'm like, but what about what's like, what if they can know the truth, but they just stand with, because that's like their biblical teaching. And they, it's, I'm like, all right, cool. But you can see some people will go down with the ship, but a lot won't. You know, some people are staying at the train station. Some people are taking the love train to the future. You know, I think it's a little hard, but you kind of have to get, I think you have to kind of steel themselves a little bit and just get ready for that. Because some people, you know, who might be good people are going to be left on the train station, but don't let that stop you from going where we're going. I tend to tell people. So how can people, so when it comes to privacy coins, how can people get them? Because I know that most of the privacy coins aren't really on exchanges, and exchanges have KYC anyway. And a lot of this is covered in, you know, tcvsummit.com. Go check it out. You can get all the info that you really want. But briefly, like how would people who wanted to get privacy coins, how would they get them in a way that was effective and possible?
Yeah, well, it's still possible. Like even in the U.S., one of the biggest exchanges in the U.S. is called Kraken, and they still trade Monero. Binance delisted after the World Economic Forum took over Binance. But so you can still get Monero in the U.S. That way. I would really recommend, if you don't know, to sign up for that TCB yes. Summit. It's less than $100. It's about 12 full hours of stuff. They cover all this stuff. That's the best way to get it. So just go to tcbsummit.com. Also subscribe to the Crypto Vigilante and the Dollar Vigilante newsletter. You can find those at just go to dollarvigilante.com/subscribe and sign up for that. But there's lots of ways. There's absolutely lots of ways to do it. It might take you a little bit of time. You're going to have to figure out how to use a new wallet and stuff like that. But that is the kind of thing that could really save your life. And it's, like I said, it's not that hard. If you were to tell someone, okay, you're going to be enslaved in this unbelievable slavery system where it's going to be take most of your life to even figure out that you are a slave. But to get out of it, you just need to go sit in a room by yourself and watch your own mind for a while, which is called meditation. You need to get a Monero wallet and start telling your friends to use it. and if you can afford it, get a plasma machine, and you'll probably get out of all this stuff and actually move on to an incredible new world and actually really win this video game. So when you put it that way, it's actually not that hard. Like when you think about what they get most people into, right? They put people through 12 years of government indoctrination camps. That's their entire childhood in a prison camp for children. Then they go for four more years, most of them, go into hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt for absolutely nothing. They learn absolutely nothing. So people will do all that. They'll go through 16 years of that to get nothing and actually become more enslaved and more put into the matrix. But if you just meditate, get some privacy coins and a plasma machine, you can get out of it. It's actually pretty simple, pretty easy, and it's all right there. So, and those aren't just the only things, by the way. Like, obviously, there's a bit more than that. You got to do the real work, make sure you're physically perfect, which actually the Tesla machine can help out with, but also make sure you're drinking lots of water, make sure you're eating the good food that's not poisoned and stuff like that. Doing the mental work in mostly things like meditation, where you get your traumas out and stuff like that. So it's not like necessarily easy, but it's not all that hard. It's just something you actually have to focus on and do. And what this matrix will do is find every distraction possible to make it so that you don't focus on these things. And that's the point of it all. And that's what I'm hopefully telling your audience today is, you know, remain focused. Don't get distracted by all the things in this matrix, because that's all the things that will keep you entrapped in this matrix. And it's actually not even that hard to get outside of it, but you will need to definitely have some discipline and some focus. And if you don't have that, work on how you can increase your discipline and focus. That's actually things you can learn how to do and actually work on doing. Those are the things you need to do to win this video game and escape this matrix.
Absolutely. And we spent, I guess we did a whole hour on the Tesla machine, so I'll link that. You know, if you're watching this, it's the same channel, Radiant Creators, and that was very enlightening. You know, I definitely on my list of things to get, the short list is a Tesla machine. You know, there it's amazing. I have not used one, but I understand the concept and what it's doing, so I'm all in on that as well. And well, this has been This has been great. And it's a good cliffhanger to leave it. You know, if you want to know how you can get we don't need those. If you want to know how you can get security coins, you know, privacy coins, ultimately, get Jeff's work, get the amazing summit, the tcvsummit.com. I'll link to it. And there you go. A little bit of a cliffhanger, you know, but enlightenment ain't free. So people go buy it. You know,
well, everything's an exchange of energy, right?
Yes.
So they put in, literally with the people involved in that summit, they put in their entire lives into all this, and they're basically giving you most of the most important information. There's video people, there's people setting up all the stuff, there's the email people, there's lots of people that need to get paid to make it get done. But for like less than $100, I think it is, you can get access to all that information. And by doing that, you're actually sending your energy to those people. And it's actually a beautiful thing. It's actually so beautiful. Currency is supposed to be a beautiful thing, but it's been hijacked and it's been turned into a horrible thing that ends up enslaving and impoverishing everyone. But you can change that. And that's one of the ways, is definitely to get into the privacy coins. And I expect that they'll probably do incredibly well. And as I mentioned, I recommended Bitcoin at $3. I recommended Ethereum at $2. I'm telling you to look at Monero at $200. It could go much, much, much higher.
Absolutely. Certainly could. Wow. Well, Jeff Berwick, it's been so great having you on again. Thanks for coming on again and talking about this. And well, thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Always. Let me actually turn off the recording here and stream.